Can we give God a thank offering now? Thank you for your ministry this morning, choir, musicians. We thank you for what God, how God has gifted you, that you determined to share your gifts and graces on behalf of this congregation. I'm going to share a short Sunday school lesson and let y'all go home and enjoy the rest of your day. I want to eliminate the Romans text and to extend the Ephesians text. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground against the devil's schemes. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'd like to preach, teach for a few moments, put it all on to be ready to fight on. Put it all on to be ready to fight on. Repeat these words after me, please. Possibilities are fertile when you are fit to fight on. Possibilities are fertile when you are fit to fight on. Put it all on to be ready to fight on. This message hopefully is to inspire somebody who is going through what you are going through. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. Some, if not most of you, know that these words were made famous by El Hajj Malik Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X, who, as he was serving as a human rights activist in this country. Nowadays, young cats would use those terms or have shifted those terms to say, if somebody say you've been run amok or you've been had or you've been bamboozled, the young cats would say you have just been pumped. Sad truth is some, if not most of us, at one time or another, have been pumped. And even worse, there are some people who have allowed being pumped, overpowered, pushed aside to become a regular routine in life. Don't look at me funny. You know I'm right. My sisters and brothers, when we believe the position is not for us, Sister Dory, the promotion is not for us, that degree is too high, too hard for us, understand you have just been pumped. When people allow themselves to be overpowered, pushed around, to have adopted a victim's mentality, they have just been pumped. You see, the victim is waiting for someone to rescue them from the problem. The victim is waiting for someone to fix their problem instead of taking and making steps to work the problem out for themselves. That person who waits for someone to step in for them, they have been pumped. When a person believes the lie that their life is limited because of where they grew up and with who they grew up and how they grew up, guess what? You have just been pumped. Jesus, y'all know him, don't you? Jesus should have been pumped. Why, you say? Because guess where he was born? On the backside of a barn. In a stinky stall. In a stable. Somebody born in a place like that should have been pumped. Jesus was born to a teenage mama. Someone born in a relationship, in a family like that, they should have been pumped. Jesus was raised in a ghetto called Nazareth. Jesus, somebody raised in a community like that, should have been pumped. Jesus should have been pumped when somebody said, here comes Jesus. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Y'all don't hear me this morning. Family, if you are going to get ahead and move ahead, if you're going to stay ahead, you have to lift your head and make up your mind that you are not going to go down without a fight. Maybe this will help somebody. Some time ago, I was watching a morning news show, and some girls were on the show, some young girls between like 8 and 12, 13 maybe. Someone attempted to kidnap them. And they were now being interviewed on one of the morning TV news shows. And somebody tried to kidnap the girls, and they fought off the kidnappers. And as a result, the girls were able to escape, thank God. Little girls between 8 and 13 escaping big kidnappers. So the interviewer asked the girls what lesson others could learn from their experience. One of the littlest girls on the platform said, "Don't go down without a fight." I like that. Don't go down without a fight. Can we encourage each other this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't go down without a fight." Tell somebody else, "Don't go down without trying." Family, the truth is you don't deal with certain things if you don't deal with certain things. If you don't deal with certain things, guess what? Certain things will deal with you. Did you hear what I just said? If you don't deal with life problems gonna deal with you. If you don't deal with bad relationships will deal with you. If you don't demand respect from your children, guess what? Your children will learn to disrespect you. My partner in Baltimore, Dr. Tyrone Powers, calls this the Frankenstein theory. What you don't deal with down in the basement, you're going to have to deal with upstairs. Did you hear what I said? If you don't deal with being emotionally and physically abused, guess what? Abuse will deal with you. Hear me, somebody. If you don't deal with your health issues will deal with you. If you don't deal with your addiction, whatever your addiction is, your addiction will deal with you. I'm so glad that there are examples of people who learn not to go down without a fight. I appreciate all the people that I know and that I read about that have persevered under pressure. They may not have won every situation. They may not have been on top in everything, but the deal is they did not go down without a fight. Do I have a witness? People fought through human disaster and social disaster and natural disaster and economic disaster and the disaster brought on by disease. You know, it seems that people of the past trusted God better than we do now. Maybe that's why they made it. You know, the elders of the elders who are now our ancestors. The stories that we've heard and the stories that we've learned, maybe they trusted God more than we do. Maybe the people in the past trusted prayer more. Maybe they trusted God's word more. Maybe they trusted God more. In the past, there seemed to be greater evidence of God in people's hearts and God's presence in people's homes. When it came to issues of faith, they did not go down without a fight. Our text family teaches us that when it came to faith, Apostle Paul did not go down without a fight. Paul, y'all know him. Paul had been locked up, beat up, left for dead, run out of town. Paul must have been a brother. Paul never stopped. Tribe of Benjamin, Paul was probably a brother. But Paul never stopped sharing the gospel regardless of what crisis was going on. Paul kept going forward. If he was pushed out of town and he wanted to go to town this way, he was pushed to the town to the left. Paul would preach the gospel. Wherever He went, Paul never stopped believing that God would make a way for him. Paul never stopped believing that God would supply for the ministry of the churches that he founded. Paul's faith and fight begs the asking of this question. What can happen that's too hard for God to handle? What can happen in your life that's too hard for God to handle? What can prevent God from taking you to where you are, to where God wants you to be? Come on, y'all. God will never pick and roll out on you. God will never send you without equipping you. Do I have a witness? Our text says in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If I got some shouts, I would give the benediction right now. Since I didn't get this. Christians are not powerful people. We are power-filled people. Did you hear what I said? Believers are empowered by the Lord. We're not empowered because we are Christians. We are empowered because of Jesus Christ. We got to get this. The Lord's power is greater than human power. The Lord has omnipower, all power. The Lord uses resurrection power. Second thing, we must begin to see the A part of verse 11 in a deeper way. Verse 11a says, put on the whole armor of God. Oh, we like that, don't we? We love when somebody says, put on the whole armor of God, and we get up and start shouting. But there's more to it than we see. We get excited about the armor, the helmet, the armor, the breastplate, the armor, the belt, and the shield, and the sword. We get hyped up about the sandals. But family, the key to this verse is to put on, about putting on the armor, is how many of us know what it means to put on? You don't have it on until you put it on. Somebody got up this morning and said, I'm going to wear an orange shirt. Well, you didn't have the orange shirt on until you put it on. I'm going to put on makeup. It's not on until you put it on. Family, what this text teaches us is that each Christian is accountable of putting on God's armor. Did you hear what I said? Because you become Christian, it just doesn't fall on you. You gotta want it on you. Wait until the first day of school and some parent goes to pick out the outfit for their child. I don't want to put that on. You know, if you're not, it doesn't fall on, you must put it on. Each of us is empowered and strengthened by the Lord based on our willingness to put on God's grace. Did you hear what I said? There are times when some, if not most of us, choose not to put on certain clothing because without it, we are more comfortable. I'm not going to say what people don't want to put on, but you know what you don't like to put on because you're comfortable. It could be socks. You don't put on socks, and I'm going to stop with the socks. But there's some stuff that we don't like to put on because we want to be comfortable. There's some aspects of God that we are more comfortable without putting on. Did you hear what I said? There's some aspects of God that we don't want to put on. We don't want to put on love because we'd rather choose who we like. We don't want to put on forgiveness because we want to hold resentment. We don't want to put on peace because we like to have an attitude. There's certain aspects of God that some of us, if not all of us, from time to time, are more comfortable not putting on. We must choose to put on God's grace. We are only empowered by God, by what God covers us with. You can put a sheet of paper over your head all you want in a downpour, but it won't work like umbrella. Don't have a witness? Brother Reggie has four umbrellas in his trunk. One for him, his wife, his daughter, and for Kobe. Nobody in that family is going to get wet. Big golf umbrellas that come out and curl down. Not one of those little pop-ups, but an umbrella that covers. We are empowered by God, by what God covers us in and with. Here it is, family. The fights that we give up on in life happens because we are not covered. We are not empowered to fight. We are not empowered to succeed. We are not empowered to endure because we have not put on. We are not empowered by God's grace. I have a friend. Friend of mine loves clean, white, folded, pressed handkerchiefs. Brother Vincent, I've never seen this brother. Anytime he go in his pocket and pull out a handkerchief, it's clean, it's white, it's pressed. All the ends are even on his handkerchief. My partner's wife told me a story one day. Homeboy was in the room ironing the handkerchiefs, pressing, but the wrinkles wouldn't come out. He got a little upset, so he checked the water level in his iron and he made sure that he had the spray bottle. And he stopped pressing some more and the wrinkles still would not fall out. So brown man got upset. He called his wife and said, "Baby, something wrong with this iron." She said, "What's wrong?" He said, "The wrinkles are not coming out of my handkerchiefs." She said, "Did you check the water level?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you using a spray bottle?" He said, "Yes." He said, "But every time I press and move the iron, the wrinkles are still there." And in frustration, he's pounding the iron across the handkerchiefs. And the wife comes in to observe to see what's going on. She said, "You're not hooked up. You don't have any power. Some of the wrinkles in our lives are not removed because we have no power. Some of the wrinkles and problems and stressors and difficulties in our lives don't go away because we're not hooked up. We got all the ecclesial trimmings. We come to church and we know church and we read the Bible, but we don't know the God of the Bible. We're not hooked up. Do I have a witness? Grace is God's grace. God's grace is authorized access to resurrection power. The getting up power grace is the authorized gift and proven power of God active in our lives. Do you see it? Where your life is lacking, the places that are weak and worn, the fights that you cannot finish, possibly, if not for real, you are not plugged into God's grace. God has freely provided empowering grace, but it's only active and effective when we are willing to put it on. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. And when he said that, all the Christians looked around, looked at the Roman soldiers and saw all the stuff they had on. When we're in a house of worship and people are giving thanks to God and praising God's name, and there are folk looking around like, why all this going on? Why are they praising and I'm not praising? It's because you are not wearing the grace of God. You have not experienced aspects of God's grace active in your life. Ask a person in a minute, they say, I'm saved. And what most people mean by that is that they are now saved from sin, death, and damnation on their way to heaven. But the word saved at its core, or salvation at its best, means transformation. To be transformed means that something new, something surprising, keeps on happening. Some people got hooked to God to get their lives in order, to make sure they were going to heaven, and then they stopped. They stopped short of God's love. They stopped short of God's forgiveness. They stopped short of God's healing. They stopped. We got to, after salvation from sin and from death, to eternal life, we must continue to plug in to God for all that God has for you and for me. Do I have a witness? You must see where God is leading you. In order to do that, you must have the grace of vision. If you want to win over doubt, you must have the grace of hope. To have hope, y'all, is grace. To have courage is grace. If you want to shed sadness, you must ask for, put on, and pray for the grace of joy. That's it. Sunday school lesson over. I got to go. My word to you is, where God wants to take you, what God has for you, what you want out of your life, if it's worth it, if you want to achieve it, you have to, if you want to fulfill life and not give up in your fight, you must take on God's grace. Somebody inside of themselves is saying, Pastor, I want to do better. I want better. I've done all that I can do. I don't know what else to do. Then you go on in the text where it says, if you've done all that you can do, Just stand. Oh, you're missing it. Just stand. It doesn't mean to be glued to it. It means have faith. Have the grace of faith and hold on until God makes it happen. Here's the deal. Many of us are looking for the end of the process, the end of the fight. We want to be declared the winner in our journey. We want to be successful in our pursuit. But we may have to stand because God wants to deal with us with the process of the journey. Oh! You're missing that. It's in the journey. It's in the struggle. It's in the process that God does the making and the breaking and the building and the shifting in your life. As you go through what you go through, God is doing something great. Do I have a witness? You want to pursue joy? Hold on. You want power? Hold on. You want better? Stand the salvation of the Lord. You might not win round one. You'll lose round two. Get your butt whooped in round seven. But if you hold on, if you hold on, somebody say hold on. If you hold on to God's unchanging hand, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Don't give up without a fight. Your help is on the way.